well in your beds.
Because if this thing comes true, there ain't gonna be any more.
It's an elevator. Somebody sent those dents up here to get us. Now, there's no controls inside, but there's maintenance overrides in there.
I was wrong. We were so wrong. We must leave.
Hello, and thank you for listening to the Dark Discussions podcast, hosted by the Dark Discussions Network. This is a quick statement about this episode. It was recorded in October 2018. This episode is of the finest sound quality. The reason for its late release is due to the fact that during its recording, we were using a subpar computer to record the audio. As a result, the audio file had hundreds of gaps as folks were speaking, so pauses and whatnot. Many were short at about 2 seconds or less, and the editing process to remove these gaps were tedious and long. So what this means to you, the listener? Nothing. The episode is now fully edited and ready to go. It has been edited with no changes except for the removal of the sound loss gaps. A sound smoother quality was added, and the elimination of some dated material, which included a short discussion of the television series Ozark, Westworld, and Game of Thrones, as well as a few dated jokes about the Major League Baseball playoffs in 2018. Also, since the recording, a discussion about a 1971 classic film, Straw Dogs, is outdated but left in this episode. Since the recording of this episode, Straw Dogs is readily available everywhere video on demand is found, as well as on disc. And we, Dark Discussions Podcast, have since recorded and released an episode about that movie, which would be found as episode 371 of the Dark Discussions Podcast. You can find that episode at the website or wherever podcasts are found. Thank you for your patience with such a long release schedule for this episode, but it is still a timely discussion about a very fun film. Hello, welcome once again to Dark Discussions, your place for the discussion of horror film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. I am one of your co-hosts, Philip, from the state of New Hampshire in the U.S. of A., and with me in the state of Michigan.
This is Eric.
Eric, how are you, sir?
I am well. I am enjoying the playground of my own mind.
Very well. That's always a good thing. It is the day after Mental Health Day, so. Indeed. And we have someone from the state of New York.
This is Mike.
We do have two other co-hosts, Abe from Massachusetts, who is supposed to join us. He's having technical details right now, but we decided to begin the introductions and hope that he has his problems on his PC solved by the time we're done. We also have another co-host, Christy, and she can't make it for actually a very legitimate reason, which we'll discuss when we get, right before we get to our final.
Because she didn't want to stab Chris Jenner in the back.
Well, we'll discuss. We'll discuss. It's all good. It's all good. We begin. What are we? We are a podcast that discusses horror, film, fiction, and all that's fantastic. Such films and subgenres are horror, sci-fi, fantasy, thrillers, techno thrillers, mysteries, midnight movies, grindhouse, art house, and so on. We also try to talk intelligently about a subgenre or genre that deserves intelligence, which are all those. Eric, you actually do another podcast with your buddy Dan?
I do. It's a general interest podcast called the Ascansity Podcast. That's spelled A-S-K-A-N-C-I-T-Y. You can find it on Stitcher, Google Play, and the iTunes Store.
You have a new fan that's listening religiously.
We do. Mr. Watson is on board.
Yes, yes. So I wonder how it is to listen to, say, an episode like 245, which he just listened to, and wonder what you're talking about, because a lot of those news items he probably doesn't even remember.
Yeah, it's weird. We tend to discuss current events, and he has gone back and listened to a whole bunch of back episodes, and I didn't think that podcast would work like that, but apparently he's enjoying himself, so I guess that's all that really matters.
Absolutely. That's the key. Absolutely. So,
well, he's cool. Just enjoying it more than putting out new episodes, I'm guessing.
There you go. I don't have anything to say, though, because I'm slacking a little bit with my little Halloween Boutique Psychotronic review.
Yeah, but you're still putting this out every week, so.
That's a good point, Mike. Yeah, that's a fair point. Yep. I'm here every Thursday. Speaking, Mike, you two are the podcast and a genre book.
Yeah, speaking of not updating very often, my blog is unnaturalselections.com, www.unnaturalselections.com. I also do podcasts based on cable TV shows with you and sometimes with Eric, and those would be You Know Nothing, Jon Snow, about Game of Thrones. Then there's Bullets, Brothels, and Bots, which is about Westworld. And then there's Searching for American Gods, which at some point is, if we continue with it, is going to be based on the TV series American Gods.
Very well, very well. All right, so that's that. Eric, we have a website.
We do have a website. It is at darkdiscussions.com. If you go there, you can find on the right-hand side of the page links to a bunch of our friends who also have material you should check out. You can also find a link at the top of the page to a bunch of articles that people have written, including myself, and you can read from a various selection of topics there. You can also find every single episode of Dark Discussions and the spinoff podcasts, as well as any other podcasts on our network, available in the audio section, all for free. And since we do this all for free, it's not free to do. It costs us money to put this show together. There are server fees involved. We have to go see movies. We have to pay hosting fees, all sorts of stuff. So if you'd like to help us offset the cost of producing this podcast, you can follow a link that's on the front page, darkdiscussions.com, to our Patreon account, or you can go directly to patreon.com/darkdiscussions. And for every $5 a month you care to donate, you will have the opportunity to submit a topic for us to possibly cover on a show. All the topics are gathered and drawn from on a quarterly basis for us to do an episode on. For details, go to patreon.com/darkdiscussions or follow the link on the front page of darkdiscussions.com. And speaking of our Patreon picks, Phil, why don't you explain what's going on tonight?
Oh, yeah. Well, basically, we've actually pulled two Patreons within the past two quarters. So ready to go to record. So we're just waiting for a time that we had an opportunity to do so. As Mike has mentioned in the past, we've had a number of incidences where movies have just been piling out on VOD and at the box office, especially the box office this year, that have been topics of dark discussions. As a result, our quote, I wouldn't say low months, but or low weeks, but weeks that we have openings, has actually been fairly booked. And now we're slowly, oddly, in October, we have 2 weeks that are open, which is very odd. You would think a lot of horror films are coming out, but not really. So we're going to probably discuss one of those tonight. And oddly, we had to switch which of those two at the last minute because of basically rights situations. One of the films is actually been pulled from VOD because it has been bought, at least temporarily, by one of the boutique labels to release it as a special edition Blu-ray. And as a result, when we were planning to watch it, a handful of us have the disc, but a handful of us...
I don't have it. It's my fault.
Yeah, and so...
What was that line from Game of Thrones? With the
make
lady
the
with...
Batman fly!
No, I was thinking more the one with... No, the one ringing the bell, the one the lady kept saying over and over again.
Shame?
Shame! Shame!
Well, not to throw anybody under the bus, but I'm going to throw Phil under the bus because Phil said it was available everywhere, and he lied to me. So
Actually, it probably was available 4 or 5 months ago when it was first picked. It's just that now, 4 or 5 months later...
Well, it's not like this has ever happened before.
Right.
Hello.
Hi, Abe.
Hi, Abe.
Busy arguing. Hush.
I hate technology.
Technology.
I think the technology hates you more.
Always improving my call.
Yeah, I, for one, welcome our digital overlords.
You would.
All right, so Abe from Massachusetts has joined us. We already introduced you when you were fixing your computer. But yes, yeah, so as a result, at least Eric and probably Abe were planning to watch what we were going to discuss tonight on VOD. But again, as we'd stated, it got pulled recently because a new Criterion edition of the film has been released on disc. And as a result, similar to like Suspiria last year, where you could not find the disc or the VOD because Synapse had bought the rights to that to put out a fantastic transfer. Same with one of our topics tonight that we were going to do, which was Straw Dogs. We're still going to get to it. It's just that it may take a little longer because of disc. It appears that, Eric, you just bought the disc tonight, so we...
I just ordered it while we were talking.
All right, so that would mean that four of us at least would be able to get to watch it, because that means four of us will have discs. So it would only be Abe. You would... Do you have the disc for Straw Dogs by any chance?
I have not got because I just got, I found out before I did. Well, I was honestly going to do VOD. I didn't realize that it was only available on disc, so I need to get that.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, that caught us by surprise. That's why we switched movies for this week.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. So Chris Genro, Straw Dogs will be coming. It's just going to be a little longer than we expected because of a. Unforeseen thing.
You know, we could always prank him. We can always prank Genro and just do the remake.
Oh God!
He's
yeah.
What did he do to deserve that?
Yeah, that's mean. Chris is our friend.
Dead Man.
No,
oh,
I don't,
wait, was that his pick?
No, that wasn't his.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he would have. He never seen the film. You remember? And he finally.
Oh,
watched,
okay.
Yeah, because he watched the film after he saw our episode, and he was somewhat disappointed with Eric's commentary on his opinion of the film. But that's okay.
Dave made a maze.
Yeah, yeah. We will always blame Chris Genro for Dave made the maze.
Yeah, I'd say we're about
which I didn't hate nearly as much as you guys, but I just enjoy throwing the red meat to the audience.
Yeah. So let's call it even.
Yes. Let's.
All right. But it is coming, the original Straw Dogs by Sam Peckinpah, starring Dustin Hoffman, Susan George, and David Warner, will be coming sooner than later. So we have a different topic tonight, and it is also a Patreon topic. So I guess before we get into that, though, does anybody want to bring up any quick news or anything that they wanted to bring up?
I did want to mention I saw I've been really busy the last like 3 weeks, so I'm trying to catch up on the movies that I've missed.
But it was mostly over on Sunday, mostly.
Mostly over on Sunday, mostly. So I managed to. I was working backwards. I saw the Eli Roth film.
Which, the clock.
Yeah, the house with the clock on its walls, which I think as a kids level film, right? I thought was actually pretty decent.
Is it a kids horror film then? Like a Goosebumps?
Yeah, kind of a Goosebumpsy sort of thing, kids horror film. I liked it a lot for what it is. I wouldn't say it's an instant classic or anything, but certainly if you have small kids. But I do want to point out that we live in a world in which Eli Roth made a movie for Steven Spielberg's Amblin Entertainment.
This is a Steven Spielberg Amblin film?
It's an Amblin film, yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So Eli Roth made a family film for Amblin Entertainment.
Well, remember, Steven Spielberg made a movie where a dog and a kid die, so he's not
blameless. Yeah, so I know, feel-good films.
Dog and a kid die, what film was that?
Jaws.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. And he had people have their faces melted, even though you could argue it's a George Lucas film. The Indiana Jones films, right?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. So he's pretty violent when you think about it. All right. So let's see. What else did you see, Mike? You said was that the only film you wanted to mention that you saw?
Yeah, that's the only one I've had a chance to catch up with. But I did again for someone looking for. Like entry level horror, this might not be a terrible one to go with.
That's good news.
It does have the disturbing image of Jack Black's head on a baby's body. That was not good.
Oh, okay. That's unfortunate. I guess, yeah.
Yes. But
yes, I saw the movie as well.
Oh, you did, Abe. How did you like it?
I thought it was okay. I mean, it had its charm. I mean, it wasn't anything special, but you know, it could have been worse and it could have been better.
Episode worthy?
Not really.
Mike, what about you?
Yeah, probably. I don't think I would say episode worthy, but again, it's a good one for families if you're looking for something to ease your kid into darker material.
Phil, we have to have another discussion about the word dark.
Or doc.
Right. Well, yeah, but you know, it's horror film fiction and all that's fantastic. So we could do Emily. We could do Mary. Mary Poppins.
It is definitely fantasy.
Yeah. So we could do Mary. We could do Mary Poppins. Emily Poppins. Okay. So that's that. Anything else anybody want to bring up? Abe or anything?
No.
Mike. I mean, I already asked you, Mike. Eric.
No.
All right, so Eric, what are we going to discuss tonight as the other Patreon?
Right. We are doing a 2015 film that was chosen by one of our Patreon supporters called Deathgasm.
You know that evil heavy metal that your parents hate you listening to? You know those lyrics about hell, demons, and doom? What if I told you it's all real? I know. I was there.
Jesus! It's piss.
That's me, Brody. My friends are losers. So we started a band.
This is retarded.
Check it out. Ricky Daggers. Is he dead?
Wouldn't it be crazy if the music had something to do with demons?
Demons.
We're all gonna die.
I translated those pages. Now people are turning crazy. Like possessed crazy.
What's up?
That was pretty cool. As is, I mean, the axe and the...
You know, I'm not even sure I'm in the right tuning.
Brother of Steel.
That's right. I think it was Gage Foltz that actually chose this, but this was prior to where I put their names next to the picks.
Mm-hmm.
But when I posted that,
he made a comment that he was excited about us doing an episode on it, but I don't know if he's the one that chose it.
Right, exactly. But either way, Deathgasm, I think, may have been on you, Mike, and you, Eric, top 20 lists from 2015 horror films, if not mistaken.
Pretty sure it was, yeah.
Yeah,
it was definitely on one of my lists. If I can't remember, was this actually out in 2015?
Well, either way, it was the year that it qualified for our podcast. I'm pretty sure you put it on your top.
Yeah, 20. It was released in October 2015.
This is a 2015 film, as Eric said. It's from New Zealand, so it's filmed and starring, directing, all that stuff by folks that are called Kiwis. The director is Jason Leigh Howden. This written by him as well. I don't know if he's done anything since, but. Stars mostly unknowns in the States, but fairly popular people in New Zealand, especially the girl or woman that stars Kimberly Crossman, who was a huge soap opera actress in New Zealand, as well as a competing cheerleader. Even as she was famous and an actress already, she still was doing that, came to the States and won huge awards doing that, so she's a pretty talented person. But also Milo Cawthorn, James Blake, or a couple other stars playing Brody and Zach. As I mentioned, Kimberly Crossman played someone named Medina. Sam Berkeley and Daniel Cressman played Dion and Giles, among others. Pretty much all. I'm pretty sure I can speak for everybody. Don't know too much about unless you're from New Zealand. That's pretty much all I got. I guess, would you guys call this a horror comedy, maybe?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, yeah. So
I would put it in, like, a category of maybe Army of Darkness.
All right,
about
yeah.
The same kind of tone. Eric, would you agree with that?
Close enough, yeah.
Zombievers,
maybe?
I think Zombievers might be shifting a little more towards the comedy. But
yeah, this has like, a decent amount of gore in it.
Yeah, this is not going down to Ghostbusters or Gremlins level, but it's also not like I wouldn't say it's quite as harsh as Evil Dead 2. So I'm going to go with Army of Darkness approximately.
Let's put it this way: I decided to watch it while I was eating dinner tonight, and I regretted that decision.
What, sure, yeah. Was it dinner?
No, it was not the dinner.
So this would be a horror comedy. I would agree with that. It's fairly gory, but it is has a humorous moment.
It's cartoonish gore, though. It's very. I will see the gore is very much in the tone of Evil Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But you know, it just with a lot more one-liners and jokes. It's almost like a mixture of Army of Darkness and Evil Dead.
Now, even though Mike and Eric, I mentioned at one point thought it was one of the top 20 horror films of the year back in 2015. Christy, actually, I don't know I would be curious to see what she would think of the film, but I'm glad she actually couldn't make it tonight because she couldn't see the film because, again, we switched films on late Tuesday night, so there was really only one day for everybody to watch the film unless they wanted to watch it ridiculous hours. So she was unable to watch it, but I'm kind of glad she didn't see it because this may not be her type of film because of the gore, but we'll get into all that later. So I guess we could talk about how we heard about this film and actually how we thought about it. Since we kind of mentioned what Mike and Eric thought at first, we'll start with you guys. So Mike, why don't you start?
This was one of those films I probably caught late 2015 in my year-end review roundup, but this is one of those movies, sort of like we have Terrifier this year, that everybody was on the horror social media pages was raving about or was getting a lot of attention, and so I made sure to check it out, and I really liked it. We've had a lot of good stuff coming from the Pacific Island region, right, from Australia, from New Zealand for the last couple of years. And this was a really solid entry, I thought. The actor, I think it's the lead actor in this, was also in a movie at the time called Blood Punch, which is another really good horror comedy that's sort of a mashup of Groundhog's Day and Breaking Bad is the best I could describe it as.
Happy Death Day, maybe?
Yeah, this is actually, it predated Happy Death Day, but yeah. So I really liked the film. This was number, I just checked, if you go to Unnatural Selections in 2016, where I have my review of 2015, this was my number 20 list and on my list. And this is one of the benefits of rewatching the film, or I guess the drawbacks of coming up with a list before you've had a chance to rewatch everything. In hindsight, this might move up my list several slots. I might move it up to, I probably think I'd put it over Cooties.
Yeah, so this was the year that Zombievers was released too, right?
This was this was a really solid year for horror comedy. And this is, and because I like horror comedy so much, I mean, theatrically, or at least not theatrically, in terms of public access, you had films like What We Do in the Shadows. You had Zombievers. You had Cooties. You had Wormwood was another one that came out that year. You had Deathgasm, obviously, that came out that year. There was just a ton of really good. I mentioned Blood Punch, Krampus.
I got to see Cooties because
Creep.
Cooties is solid.
Yeah, Lee Wano, the guy that did Saw and Upgrade, did that. He directed. I mean, not directed, but he wrote it. He wrote the
Final Girls was out. Was that year?
That's a good film. Yeah.
So yeah, so there was a lot of good horror comedies that year alone, why it came out like that, I have no idea. But this one stands out. I enjoyed it more, I guess, on the second time. It stood out more in the second time, and I know smaller things in just terms of the style that stood out that you don't see a lot, like a lot of the animated interstitials. They're nice. I imagine I would probably enjoy this even more if I was a metal fan.
Yes,
because I know a lot of the reviews I read praised it because it was a film that kind of got the metal right, that it wasn't using like knockoff metal.
Well, one of the amazing things about this movie is that it manages to simultaneously pay tribute to metal while mocking the hell out of it. Yeah. And I don't know quite how they pulled that off, but they did.
Good balance. That's what the rest of the world.
Well, because they're mocking it, I think, in an affectionate way, right?
Right.
It's mocking in the way that only someone that loves that material can do.
Right.
You know, like you take a look at a good spoof of like Star Wars or Star Trek that are made by the actual fans. You know, they can both mock it and pay tribute to it. So I think it works in the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense, yeah. All right, sounds good. Eric, what about yourself?
I'm pretty sure that Dan and I were flipping through iTunes one night looking for a movie and saw this and just looked at each other and were like, fuck yeah.
So Dan, you're the co-host of Askansi. He's a metal fan.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. And so we watched it together, and we had an absolute blast. Yeah, so we just happened upon it by chance and ended up really enjoying it.
Now, let me ask you this: since you rewatched it a second time, would you agree with Mike that even a second time it's as good or not? Or the first time obviously could be the best, just for the fact you go in blind.
I mean, the first time was special because there are a few things that catch you by surprise. The second time, I don't know if I'd rewatched it since then, but I still enjoyed it heartily and still got a good laugh out of it when I was supposed to.
Very well. Abe.
That was, if it's 2015, I must have missed it, or it was possibly a film I was going to watch and just never got around to. And I'm actually pretty damn glad that it was picked as a topic because it's great I finally got to see it, but I also kind of regret not having a chance to watch it when it came out because maybe it would have honestly made my list because I thought this was a lot of fun. Horror comedies really can be hit or miss, but there's been some damn good ones. This is a really solid one. It's got nice mix of gruesome gore and over the top violence with some really good jokes and even some nice little references and stuff like that. But it has its weird way of its own gruesome charm. You know, it's really over the top violence and tries to top itself each time. Numerous goddamn ways that characters, get killed or they kill off demons and stuff like that. It's as metal as a theme of metal. That's what it is. It's really just crazy. But I thought the character, there was likability to it as well. I thought like characters, I had fun with the humor. And the 80-minute runtime was just, in my opinion, just right. It didn't need to be too long at all. This was it told the story you needed to with the right pacing and got to the finish line very strongly. It finished strong. It's definitely a contender for like pop, a placement if it had come out any other year. So that's what I mean when I regret not seeing it when it came out because I really think I wish I could have given it a chance to see where we've placed, but overall, I'm still happy to see it, and I'm looking forward to digging in to this one with you guys.
All right. For me, I think I heard about it pretty much the same way as Mike. It was one of those films that everybody suddenly heard about, similar to like Terrifier is getting all the buzz this year as the underground hit. At that time, 2015, this was the underground hit, though there was a lot of them that year, like Zombievers was another and whatnot. So there was a lot of underground hits that year, and Deathgasm happened to be one of them. I didn't bother seeing it that year because, even though I enjoy comedy and horror comedy, it's not a subgenre that I'm really interested in. Though every time I seem to see horror comedies, I think they're awesome. So it's just a kind of weird, bizarre.
It sounds like me and Westerns. I always say, oh, no, I don't like Westerns, but I pretty much enjoy most of the Westerns I've ever seen.
Exactly. Same thing. Absolutely. Like Hostiles, right, Eric?
Right.
Yeah, because that was a Western you saw this year and you said it was pretty solid. And what's funny, too, is that like Cooties came out that year. And like I said, Lee Wannell, and I love Lee Wannell. Even back then I did. And I didn't bother seeing it. So, and then when Abe chose Zombievers as an episode back that year, I remember Mike saying, Phil's going to hate this film. And then he was shocked that I thought it was awesome. So yeah, exactly like that, Eric, where I go, oh no. And then after I watch it, I go, that was an awesome film. Yeah, exactly. So this time I went in blind. I mean, I kind of knew it had something to do with heavy metal and whatnot, but I didn't see a trailer. I knew the reviews were solid, but I didn't know anything about it except that you guys liked it, Eric and Mike. And so I went in and watched it on Tuesday night after me and Eric recorded a special episode that will be coming and may actually already be released by now. And I started at 10 o'clock at night, and yeah, I was fixated on TV. I enjoyed this film a whole lot. I actually was shocked how violent it was because, yeah, this film in no way would be able to be released, in my opinion, as a rated film in the U.S. unless it was NC-17. But, you know, so what? I mean, that's what the point of VOD. And, yeah, this is a great, fun film. It definitely had the Sam Raimi early day feel to it, as Mike mentioned, as reviews I read after I watched the film. I don't know if I loved it, but I could see where Mike said, you know, he had it as his 20th best horror film of 2015. I could see myself putting it in the 15 through 20 spot for sure had I had seen it that year. So yeah, I would definitely recommend it. If you're into heavy metal, not even heavy metal, but I guess like all those different metals that the kid reads off to his future girlfriend, then yeah. I mean, if you like Obituary and all these weird bands that only a select few people listen to that are really hardcore, this could be it. Though I got to say, it does open up to a general audience because it doesn't go that deep into the music. It's more the kids in the film are heavy metal fans, but the it's not a musical or anything. So it's right. Not really, it's really more of a backdrop than anything.
Yeah.
And a lot of the stuff they talk about is fictional.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I figured that someone that ate rabbits on stage was just a play on the joke of when Ozzy, you know,
so Ricky Daggers isn't real.
Sorry, Mike. Hate to break it to you.
Yeah. But, yeah, it was a good film and, solid. If you didn't know the accents, you would think it was an American or an English or a Canadian production or Australian because the characters were any Anglo language country except for their accents. They seemed like just typical people from Canada, U.S., England, Australia, or New Zealand.
One of the little metal touches that I enjoyed is that if you sat through the end credits, there's a brief end credit scene at the end of the credits.
It's
good. Yep.
But I did like that after they go through the music credits of all the heavy metal music and the bands that perform the heavy metal music. And I'm assuming they're mostly indie bands, local indie bands, I'm guessing. But then after the music credits, they put up the logos of all the bands.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Which I thought was funny. And I thought about it, it's like, really, you know, heavy metal bands are like the most logo-centric form of music, I think.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So that was a nice touch.
Yeah, because I mean, I used to, when I was in high school in the 80s, I listened to heavy metal and hard rock, but I didn't listen to this type of music. So I was listening to Guns N' Roses, you know, stuff like that.
I don't listen to music that's quite this heavy. I'm not sure if it existed in the 80s. I was very unaware of it. I didn't start to really hear that kind of stuff until later in the 90s.
Actually, it did exist because I was working at a gas station and there was this kid that I worked with that listened to that type of music, and every so often he would put it on, and I didn't think it was anything I would be interested in, but I was polite because I'm always a curious mind. I said, so have you ever seen this band? You know, but it was the band Obituary, which I mentioned, and the singer sings similar to how the lead singer Zach sings, you know. It's like, I was like, oh my God. But
those are called Cookie Monster vocals, Phil.
Yeah, right, okay. Right. But, you know, he enjoyed it. And I'm pretty open-minded when it comes to music and stuff because I have this running joke online. I listen to Nicki Minaj a lot right now. And I posted some stuff about it and people were ripping it, including David Koning, one of our contributors on Facebook. And he was ripping it, and I said, actually, there is no bad music. Basically, every genre has its fans, and it's just it's your preference.
I will agree with the part where every genre has its fans. I will disagree with the part that there's no bad music. There is bad music.
As long as there is Yoko Ono, there is bad music.
That's what he came back with, and I responded by saying there is bad musicians and good musicians in every genre, but every genre has their fans and can be considered good depending on your perspective.
So if we amend the original statement to there are no bad music genres,
right? That's how.
Then I'll take that. Yeah, I did like the. I got a kick out of when I guess it's when he's talking to the girl, whether he's eating the strawberry ice cream, and she says, "Well, isn't like that just? I just thought it was just people screaming." And I said, "Well, that's like just you know like death metal." And then he starts going through all the different
subgenres. Yeah.
That are really just people screaming, which I got a kick out of. As someone who is not a fan of that type of metal music,
Dan and I get into that occasionally on the Askansi podcast because he listens to, he listens to more genres of music than anybody else I've ever known. He'll listen to pretty much anything. He's heard it and disapproves.
Yes, he actually posted on my Facebook post and said, yeah.
He revoked your man card.
I could criticize you for licking him up.
many men
have not caught up on my
sleep. Many men would like to do that.
To no fairness, I don't think I know a single thing she's done.
Fair enough. So you can't truly comment without actually listening to it, I guess.
Oh, I can. I just have no basis for it.
Fair enough.
All right. Well, we've gone a little ahead of ourselves here. I'm going to do the wiki for you now, if you don't mind.
Go ahead, sir.
Wiki.
All right.
No. You got to do a metal.
Wiki.
Better.
Wiki.
Two teenage boys unwittingly summon an ancient evil entity known as the Blind One by delving into black magic while trying to escape their mundane lives.
All right. It's not 100% accurate because it's really four.
No, I would probably say... a teenage metal band unwittingly summons an ancient evil and hilarity ensues.
I don't even know how unwittingly it is.
That's true, if you want to get technical.
Well, only one of them is wittingly.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, no one would believe that you're really summoning a demon, so it's not like I would blame the kid. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because he doesn't know he's in a horror film, you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
And I gotta say, I'd say this actually reminds me. It could almost be a like lost episode, sort of lost, not edited for TV episode, or something like Buffy the Vampire Slayer or Todd and the Book of Pure Evil. You know, and that it is sort of a high school setting. It's dealing with kids fighting evil. You know, you could see how this could be easily adapted into a show like one of those.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I haven't seen any of those shows that you mentioned, Mike. But what I could see in this film, it's really about, even though it goes haywire and it's a horror film and all that, the second half, the first half is really just young people adjusting in a world that they feel doesn't represent them or fit or where they fit in. Almost like not a true coming of age film, because this isn't necessarily that, but it is a teenage angst film similar to like classics like Rebel Without a Cause and whatnot, except that these folks happen to be, I guess, quote unquote, misfits or outcasts, not intentionally, but more by choice, I guess.
But aren't most teenage stories, movies about the outcasts?
Yeah. No. Well, it depends. So there's teenage films about the team that's trying to win the Super Bowl or for the high school. What was the one that became a TV show about football that was a movie originally?
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah. So you get those too. But you're right. There's a lot. I would say 50 to 80% of them probably are these type, like you said, Mike, where they're outcasts or people trying to fit in or whatever.
You get like the Breakfast Club movies and the pretty pink. It's like a lot of there's always usually that there's at least one of the outcast characters. Anyway, that's neither here nor there.
No, and but that's important because honestly, that I, even though this guy was making a horror comedy, because he probably loves comedy and he probably loves metal, because I did read about the director that he was a metal fan and a horror fan when he was a young kid, and he was also an outsider too. It is about that too. It's not just a fun film to have gore and whatever. It is also about people who are trying to adjust in the world. And again,
place. To find a place they belong.
Yeah, right, right. And to be honest, everybody does belong and has a place and is quote unquote normal. You know, who cares if you listen to Obituary that goes it's just music. You know, when you're at work, you're not playing that music. You're working. You know, or when you're jogging, you're jogging. You know, so it's just
I'm waiting to walk into Walmart one day, and that'll be the music playing in the background.
Yeah, I don't think that's gonna work. But yeah, so I felt that. That was my favorite part of the film, was probably the first 30 minutes of the film, because I liked learning about the characters and seeing them just trying to survive.
I really enjoyed, since I have been in a few bands over the history of time, I enjoyed the scene where they were trying to name the band, because I can't tell you how many of those fucking conversations I've been a part of.
That must be the most fun part of doing it, right?
I don't know about fun. It certainly is a process.
Well, we're just trying to get a process to name a friggin' once a month podcast. We can't do it.
Right.
There's a there was a if you ever watched the show Parks and Rec, there was a running joke with Chris Pratt's character who had a band and that he kept that it, like the band had several names before the show, and then. Throughout the series, somebody would say something, and he would call out, "Ooh, band name! I call it." It would just throughout, like,
yeah, there you go.
Yeah, so,
and I gotta say, Deathgasm is a great name for a metal band. It's a shame that no real band actually had the name.
Actually, I did read that the film, the movie Deathgasm, the title wasn't appropriate for one country that it was released. And so they renamed it because they felt
wasn't the country, that was Walmart.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you're right. It was Walmart. I read that too. Yeah, yeah.
It's got big enough to be a country, I suppose. But
well, this is the same store that had basically someone holding a head and wearing a gas mask half naked with the movie Found, which was at Walmart. So it's like I don't get it. You know,
what's call it then? Death.
No, we got it. Yeah, let me look. It's right here on Wikipedia somewhere. I'll do a
Heavy Metal Apocalypse was the alternate title.
Oh, there you go.
Deathgasm's more awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, to be honest, that is a fair title because it is Heavy Metal Apocalypse. But I don't see what the big deal
is.
It's very
on the nose. It's a little too on the nose. It's fine as a title. It's not, but Deathgasm is better.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
And it makes me wonder now if you bought it at Walmart and it'll have Heavy Metal Apocalypse,
oh,
I guess, on the box art. Well, not is it worse than, but is when you actually put the disc in to play it, does it come up as Deathgasm or does it come up as Heavy Metal Apocalypse?
Probably Deathgasm. I bet you they only changed
it. I can't imagine they forced them to put alternate credits in the movie.
I agree.
I can.
Really?
Well, Walmart does have pull, but I would think Walmart be satisfied with just the outside packaging.
Yeah, probably. But if they said do it and you want to get in Walmart, you're going to do it.
That's true. They almost put Rubbermaid out of business.
Oh, is that true?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh. Wow. Why? What did Rubbermaid do?
Rubbermaid raised the price of their merchandise because cost of materials went up, and Walmart said, no, we're paying the same. And Rubbermaid was like, we can't. If we keep that price, we're selling it to you below cost. And Walmart was like, well, okay, then we won't carry your stuff.
There you go.
And they almost went out of business because of it. And yeah, well, now they're paying Rubbermaid what they want to pay Rubbermaid.
Right, right. Well, and it's honest, Walmart is the key. A lot of independent filmmakers, one of our people I know, Gregory Norris, which Abe actually knows as well, he was writing some screenplays, and the director that was possibly going to use his screenplays. His goal was to get it into Walmart, because that's the number one place. That's why you see so many indie horror films in Walmart when you go down their movie aisles, because they sell. They sell them for 10 to 15 bucks, and people buy them, and everybody wants to get into Walmart. Redbox is the other place that everybody wants to get on, too.
Wait, don't say that the company that they've got into a problem with was Rubbermaid.
Well, Rubbermaid and Walmart had a spat.
So Rubbermaid, that sounds like a fucking porn name.
Nope. No, they probably made your laundry basket.
You got to remember here, Abe probably has never been in the kitchen except to grab food. A Rubbermaid.
I've actually cooked.
That's good. But okay. Rubbermaid is a huge company that's been known for years. So you may have never heard of it, but believe me, it's...
Ask your housekeeper; she'll tell you.
Oh, well, I've probably heard of it. I'm just saying the name sounds like a fucking porn name.
You know what? Maybe
I don't know what kind of porn you're watching, Abe.
Yeah, but seriously, Rubbermaid is probably as common name as Walmart. To be honest, it's a well known company. But anyway, nowhere. We're off topic there. So,
or are we?
Well, because speaking of Rubbermaid, there's the whole scene where they found the box of church stuff.
Oh yeah!
Oh my God, that is one of the best scenes in the history of time.
What is the scene? Yes. What scene is this?
This
like?
Might be. I'm gonna throw up a spoiler alert here, and not that there's really much of a plot to keep track of, but yeah, this is the only movie I have ever seen where people have fought demons with sex toys.
I know.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's a fair point. Yeah, I think honestly, it was. I think they carried it a little too long, but it was solid, funny.
So you think they should have got to the climax quicker?
Right. So yeah. So let's. I guess we might as well just throw up the spoiler now, because
I just did.
Yeah, you did. So I'm just repeating, Eric. Hey, the movie's a horror comedy. We're making this podcast a comedy. And a horror, too. All right, so let's start talking about more things about the film. Yeah, the whole thing is he becomes an orphan, in a sense, because his father's passed, and his mother becomes a prostitute who sucks cocks in
hell. In hell. She's not dead yet.
No, she sucks cocks in... truck stops. Truck
stops.
That's what I'm looking for. If she gets arrested, I'm shocked that they put her in jail for that. You think just slap her with a fine, and you know, overnight, and then you're gone. That's a misdemeanor, I guess. In New Zealand, it's
they take it seriously, I guess.
Yeah. So New Zealand is a hard ass country compared to the U.S. If you want to get a Hummer and a truck stop in the U.S., it's okay.
I'm not going to tell you know that.
I guess that flows for the mother.
So she goes to jail for a long time, which is kind of hard to believe. But yeah, she goes, and so he has to move in with his.
I don't think it's a true story, Phil.
True. His uncle, aunt, and cousin, and they're probably as shocked as he is, because he finds out they're conservative Christians.
Jesus freaks.
And they find out that he is a person who enjoys what we call death metal music.
The way the narrator of the film puts it, they're balls deep in Jesus.
There you go.
And it turns out quite literally.
I'm not sure Jesus has a stance on sex toys. I don't think that actually... Like, I don't remember the Bible. I mean, it talks about masturbation. It talks about sex out of wedlock.
Well, it also talks about getting on your knees and pleasing the Lord.
Yeah. Mike, that is actually a fair point, because even though we find out the uncle and aunt have numerous sex toys, that does not necessarily mean it's unchristian.
Right. It's nothing. I don't think there's anything Leviticus about double-headed dildos.
Right, and we must remember that New Zealand is mostly Episcopal, therefore they don't follow the Catholic Church, which may frown upon certain things that, say, the Episcopals don't. So you can still be a religious Jesus freak, as Eric says, in the movie says, without being shamed or burning in hell for having toys to help your sexual...
Well, pleasure. We Catholics do like our beads.
We sure do. No,
those are rosary beads. Correction!
That's true. Anyway, so yeah, how do we want to talk? What do we want to talk about? Basically, the wiki pretty much explains what happens, right? Mm-hmm. But so this kid has to adjust with his new life. His cousin hates his guts because he's one of those. I don't know if he's even a jock, but he's just a dink. And so he, meaning our hero, who's the heavy metal guy, finds a couple of friends, and he finds out they're Dungeons and Dragons freaks, so he's friends with them. And so he knows he's an outcast because of it. But then he meets Zach at the record store, and Zach is a true heavy metal person, or the stereotypical what straight people would think that are heavy metal people, which is they're thieves, they're criminals, they're this and that. Am I right?
Hmm?
Am I right?
About what?
That most straight people, the stereotype of a straight person to think of what a death metal listener would be what Zach is. Someone that steals cars, or, you know, pieces from cars and all, steals gas from tanks. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying it's the stereotype.
I guess.
I don't know. I'm just asking you. I mean,
I've been on the other side of it, so I can't say.
Fair enough. Oh, so you were Zach?
Yeah, but dude.
Zach is kind of like the his big brother, right? He kind of becomes his adopted big brother. You know, he's what he thinks metal heads are supposed to be, and he epitomizes the best and worst aspects of it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's kind of like the jerk of the hard gold kind of character.
Well, he is and he isn't, right? Because he...
Yeah,
the backstabbing prick too.
Yeah, but he also is the guy who honestly saves the day.
Rose before hoes.
Well, that's the thing, right?
Whenever, he doesn't have that philosophy.
As long as if there's a hot chick, then he'll sell you up the creek. That's what Zach is. Because
yeah. Which makes him a not terribly atypical teenage boy.
Mm.
That's a fair point.
That is a fair point.
He is not necessarily any better or worse than like the brother was, or the cousin rather.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point, because, when it came to being a teenage boy and as a hot girl, it was everyone for themselves, even if against your best friends, right? I mean, that's really true. I mean, it's like the Titanic, right? At the point it's sinking, everybody's out for themselves, and it's like, who cares about your best
Did
friends?
Did you
or your...
just compare dating in high school to the Titanic?
Yeah.
Well, it's the difference between the Titanic and dating in high school is that on the Titanic, everybody went down.
But yes, I just remember the captain say everyone for themselves at that point, because he can't help anybody and there's no more boats. So everybody's just trying to survive. So when it comes to the hot girl in high school, all the boys, no matter how close you were to your buddies, fuck them. I'm going for the chick. That's just how it was.
Yeah, but at least on the Titanic, you didn't have to choose too hard, because all the girls got wet in the Titanic.
Oh.
Yeah. This is brutal.
Well, I mean, the movie is pretty brutal when it comes to that comedy.
Yeah, true. So it is appropriate.
It is appropriate.
I mean, there's a freaking scene where one demon gets castrated by a weed whacker with barbed wire.
That's a fair point.
What do you do on your Saturday nights?
Right. Oh, yeah. I mean, actually, the film was pretty straight up until the point where the scene when we meet the bad guys and they chop off the head and do it again.
That was awesome.
And then the girl lifts her head up and she was sucking his cock.
And the whole time. And that was just such a great touch, because it's not like he walked in and she's sucking his cock and you know she's there the whole time.
Right.
That didn't have to be there at all, but it was just a nice little ping, put a nice little tap on the pin on the whole thing, button on the act.
Because they completely just mess around with the typical bad boss kind of presentation of the villain. And it's even funny that the girl you just think is going to be a throwaway joke actually becomes the main villain, which was a nice little twist too.
It was an awesome twist. Yeah, absolutely. So that was the scene where I said, okay, now I see where this film is going. Prior to that, I wasn't sure. But yeah, it even goes more crazy than that scene. Because
it wasn't too much to swallow, was it, Phil?
Oh! Boom, boom. But yeah, then we have the dildo scenes and all this other stuff. It's like, holy shit. I'm actually now more happy that Chrissy's not here, because she would be, I don't know what the hell.
Chrissy was giving us instructions on these things.
I was going to say, I'm pretty sure that Chrissy may have seen one of those two items in the past.
<Ba-dum-bum>.
Oh. That's really not the best technique for using those, yes.
Oh. All right, so...
Okay.
All right, so let's see what else we got. What do we want to talk about? I mean, again, this is it's basically throwing poop against the wall of the film. So it's like, in a good way. So it's like, what do we want to talk about?
Well, there's not a complex plot to go through. There's really not, but there's great moments throughout the movie. One of my favorites was...
Oh, the booby scenes?
No, that's not what I was going to say. Okay. We all know you like the boobies, Phil. You've made that very clear.
I think everybody does, though, Eric.
Yeah, but you just talk about it constantly.
Okay. Fair point.
The point what I was going to say is when the first time the girl listens to heavy metal, and they have
that was awesome.
Quick cutscene to her wielding an axe on top of a mountain.
Yes.
With two hot chicks making out, kneeling in front of her.
Well, yeah, it looks like something out of heavy metal.
My point is that's how everybody feels when they hear music they think is fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, they feel powerful. That's the thing.
They feel like a woman on top of a mountain with a couple of lesbians and wielding a battle axe?
No, the symbolism of what it meant, which is you rule the world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no,
that's,
I get that.
But it's also a sense of freedom. If we look at the female lead of the story, she's kind of repressed. She's controlled by her boyfriend. She's not allowed to talk to other guys. You know, the guy's emotionally abusive. She's kind of rigid. You know, she doesn't want to be because she tries to, talk to others. But
at one point, she tries to do the devil horns with her hand and fucks it up.
Yeah,
he's got to show her how to do it right.
That was awesome. But, I must say, she has a hell of a manicure.
But it's like...
That's what we were looking at, was the manicure.
So yeah, but the most symbolic part, is when she gets to listen to music, she feels more powerful, she feels liberated, and she feels more in control of herself than she did. Because she, it's hard to say how controlling this environment of this town was, but it was clear that she was kind of in that kind of a lifestyle where she... I think she was also a churchgoer, if I recall.
Well, I just thought it was great that they cut to that scene for about 10 seconds, and they come back to her on the sidewalk, and she just goes, whoa.
Yes.
And it's true. That's how you feel, man. Absolutely. When you listen to some music, you go, oh, my God, this is fucking the best.
Right.
I got to give the film credit, though, for touching on hot social political issues when Zach finally stood up and said what we all have been thinking for a long time. Which is that lowercase is for pussies.
Right, exactly.
And coming up with the band names. And I don't remember what it was called, like Anal Carnage, and it's going to be all in caps, because lowercase is for pussies.
Oh, yeah. Well, no matter how silly Zach is, he had some cherries for wisdom, I should say. Not he didn't
Zach
have the pitch.
Reminded me a lot of, did any of you ever see the movie 3 o'clock High?
Yes.
No,
the bully in that movie is that kind of had the same vibe to him for me personally.
But was he a mean guy as bad as the guy in that film? I haven't seen that film, so I don't know.
He was probably intentionally meaner.
Right. Yeah, because basically, Zach in this film was a fairly good guy, though he...
Well, except he'll lie and fuck the girl.
Yeah, and he'll steal and steal.
And loves to run around... killing people with a chainsaw.
Yeah.
No, he was not killing people with a chainsaw. He was killing zombies or demons.
Demons.
Another great moment in the movie is when the zombie apocalypse has broken out and they're killing all these demons. And then his cousin walks in the door and goes, oh my God, what's going on? And he just like cuts his head in half with a chainsaw. And Zach's like, I'm pretty sure he was human. And Brody's like, no, he's definitely possessed.
He said
something about that. Yeah,
yeah. He said Satan. I don't think. No, I'm sure I heard it. Yeah, that was.
Oh, that was great.
He said something about Satan or whatever. Yeah, that was awesome.
God, or something.
That was the best scene of the film, probably. Because our hero, he's actually the murderer. Well, Zach didn't kill anybody except demons.
Right. Well, everybody's a little flawed.
So technically, the demon should have possessed our hero, Brody, because he was the murdering bastard. But I don't know. It's kind of funny.
Oh, that scene was awesome.
Well, there are questions to whether he knew he was murdering his cousin or whether he was just...
Oh, he knew.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He fucking knew. He was waiting for an excuse to kill the bastard.
I can't say I blame him, really.
Oh, yeah. His cousin was a scumbag. There's no doubt about it. No, I mean, he doesn't deserve death, but if he had to kill somebody, he was a good choice. He was going to be a demon, so you might as well take him out now.
He saved him. Saved him from getting possessed.
Yes, that's a good point, Eric. His soul was saved.
Yes.
If he had one to begin with.
That's a good point, too, Abe. I don't know if he did, actually.
Some other great moments of the movie. One is when Medina comes up and puts an axe in the head of one of the demons that's attacking. And the nerdy kid just thinks she's so awesome. And she's like, I was trying to think. You think it would have been better if I used a one-liner? Like he was axing for it?
Yes.
Something Abe would say.
Probably.
Well, yeah, it's trying to do the Arnold one in a non-Arnold movie.
Oh boy.
Oh, the best. Yeah, that, yeah. When she uses the axe, that was awesome.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Neat. Yeah. Oh yeah, she knows the movie lines, right? She had to prepare.
Right.
That was awesome. She was awesome.
She was awesome. I particularly like the fact that she approached Brody. Even though he was all dressed up in his death metal makeup and whatnot, and still showed interest in him.
Yeah. I also like the scene where all the guys are trying to make the music video. And they're failing horribly. And the fucking nerdy kid is trying so hard to be edgy, he starts jacking off the sword handle. And then Zach just walks away shaking his head. And he's like, I'm fucking done.
This movie was so fucking funny when you think about it.
Oh, God.
Put your leg up on the tree. Higher.
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 I have to say, he understood music videos, though, because most of the time they're just fake playing, and yeah. They just loop it in. You know,
yeah.
It's just that he had no idea how to have that.
And I like the fact that the one nerdy guy, wore fucked up Peter Criss makeup.
Oh,
I mean, they're all doing a riff on Chris, but he basically did the cat with sideways whiskers.
Right.
That's actually a good point. Yeah, I didn't think of that. Yeah, but you know what? I guess I didn't get that it was actually Kiss. Just for even though obviously Kiss is famous for it, is because Kiss really isn't heavy metal. They're hard rock, right?
That's how I think of them. However, back in the day,
they were considered like this. Satan worshippers.
Yeah. Knights in Satan's service.
When a buddy of mine bought their greatest hits, because it came out like late 80s, and we're listening to it, I go, this sounds like pop music. This doesn't sound like heavy metal.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's really not that hard.
Well, no, it's all
relative. Yeah, it's all relative.
Yeah, I was surprised at a lot of so-called heavy metal that I ended up listening to kind of later and going, that's really not hard. And maybe it's just a matter of perspective, because what was hard at one point is not necessarily as hard now.
Sure.
Now that you're in the age of like death metal and new metal and speed metal and what have you.
Right.
You know, classic metal might just be seen now as more hard rock. And hard rock is now being played in elevators around the world.
Right. It's alarming.
Right. It is interesting. I mean, I remember when Alice in Chains came out and they were pretty hard. You know, they made Guns N' Roses and Kiss and Aerosmith look like nothing. And now they're even played in elevators. So it's like, what are you going to do?
This movie made me think of a scene from the movie. Did any of you see Little Nicky?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
There's a scene in that movie where somebody's talking to him about what his favorite bands are. They're like, you must be totally into Ozzy, right? Tell us where all the hidden messages are in his music. And he goes, well, Ozzy is always pretty straightforward. He goes, "You want to hear something awesome? Check this out." He puts on a Chicago record.
Yes.
and stops the record and starts playing at Bass Workers and goes, "Hail Satan."
"I command you in the name of Lucifer, spread the blood of the innocent."
Hold on, when was this? Was that from Little Nicky?
Yeah.
All
right. See, I didn't see that film.
That was the Adam Sandler movie, right?
Yeah.
That's probably
it's definitely
reason
an
why
Adam Sandler movie, but I like that one moment.
That's probably the reason why I didn't see it. even though he lives 5 miles, his parents still live 5 miles from where I live, but that's what's
Adam like. Sandler was good for his like first three or four movies, but he just kept on doing the same bit over and over again, and it was enough.
Yeah, I think his last was Punch Drunk Love, and then after that, it was all over.
Well, at the same time, if someone's willing to pay you to make movies with your friends and just fuck around for 6 weeks or whatever it is, and they say, guys want to go to Hawaii? Okay, we'll make a movie in Hawaii or whatever they want to do.
Right.
And hang out with your friends there.
No,
I'm not
holding it against him. He made a great living for himself doing that bit. I got tired of it.
I'm just not going to respect him as an artist, but I can sure as hell respect him as a con man.
Right. Yes, exactly. Yeah, and who cares, right? I mean, he made his money. He's happy. Good for him.
Right.
You know, I just ain't going to watch his films.
Sorry, I didn't mean to get us off topic.
Now,
that's all right.
Another thing I really liked was the very fact when he first meets his two buddies, he gets tricked into playing D&D with them.
Yeah, the one guy, kid goes, "During lunch break, you want to try something wild?"
And being funny later on during the apocalypse, when the characters are holed up inside, that's who are playing fucking D&D.
Well, and then later in the movie, Zach says something like, "You want to see some crazy shit?" And Bernie goes, "It's not role playing, is it?"
That's right. That's right. There you go. There's a Chekhov score. Oh, but the best was his, the friend saying, "This is bullshit," you know, because he's saying, "Well, I'm the DM, I could choose. This is stupid. No way, it's not fair."
Well, guess what? Now they're eating your feet, or whatever he said.
Yeah, whatever he said. Right?
Didn't they like rape his corpse or something? Or am I misremembering?
It's something ridiculous.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, the worst back in the day was the psychopath DMs. They were assholes.
And then they try killing the demons by putting dice in the paintball gun.
Oh, shoot.
Right,
yes.
Right.
Oh, my God, that was great. And I thought it was going to work, and it didn't.
No, it slowed him down for a second.
I think the worst DM I ever had was this kid that, he said, "All right, so what are you going to do?" I said, "All right, I'm going to open the door." And he goes, "Okay, so how are you going to do that?" Open the door, you know, like, yeah, but are you going to turn the thing right or left? And I go, does it matter? Is there a trap? And he goes, no. Then he goes, just open the fucking door. And that was the last time I ever played with that kid. It was just like, oh, it's
overly specific. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Now we're talking. I mean, oh my God.
If
you probably know this, right? Because writer's group, it's the same way. When you go to a writer's group, there's these people that, I remember there's this kid that wrote a scene where he went through the entire airport and the check-in and all that crap, when all he had to do was write one line and says, they flew to England.
Oh, yes.
And that was it.
Yeah. There's some moments in, you know, but that's the thing is you learn as a writer too, is, you know, what is important to talk about and what's best to summarize.
Right. And that was the thing with the DM, but off topic, it was just another funny DM moment.
Like, do you walk into the room with your left foot first or your right foot?
The Dungeons & Dragons days, how were they?
Yeah. Just as a reminder, everyone, Phil still insists he's not a nerd. Just saying.
No. We don't allow him to not insist that to insist that anymore, because he exposed himself with his knowledge.
The damage
of a pole arm is 2d12.
I love how you paused when he said he exposed himself.
And Mike, I did admit, the first time I ever saw or heard of zombies was Dungeons and Dragons.
Yes.
I did. I admit that. It scares the care.
There's nothing wrong with being a nerd.
No. Ooba gaba, one of us.
Wait, didn't they do that in this movie? No, it was...
No, they didn't.
Yeah, you're right. It was in Small Feet, because I saw that film this weekend, and they do that. One of us. One of us.
Oh, God.
Yeah. So what other scenes in this film? Because, again, it's really just a set pieces for violence and comedy.
But they do it quite goddamn well, because holy shit. And they just love to completely just tear apart the human body.
And they're pretty good at it, too.
They are damn good at it. But yeah. You know, like, it was just like, each scene was like trying to top the last one. But I really, I think they really kind of, I think the biggest one was honestly the fight with the possessed step parents.
That was pretty good with the sex toys. I also liked when Zach later in the movie pretty much tapes chainsaws to each of his arms.
Oh yeah, I love it when he says to what's her name, Medina, are you gonna blow me? She's like, what? And she's like, and he's
no, he goes, can you pull me off?
Oh, pull me off, yes. And she's like, what? He's like, oh. I absolutely love that because he just actually leaps into the fucking air, and he just almost like samurai sword did when he just kind of
he was kind of spinning like a helicopter.
Yeah, but there was a dramatic moment. He just kind of like all zombies just slowly fall over. It's like, yeah.
I was somewhat disappointed at that scene because I was hoping this is massive gore, like bodies getting ripped in half.
He decapitated half a dozen zombies at the same time.
But I wanted to see entrails.
You got to see entrails.
Well, that's true. There were a
couple chainsaws to the gut.
Yeah. At some point, you saw a chainsaw up the ass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it the aunt that her entrails fell out?
Yes, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
And then she got dildos into the skull too.
the wrong orifice, not the anus.
Well, he did screw her brains out.
Oh my God, Abe, you're coming up with some pretty good ones.
I like near the end of the film where they were kicking one of them. I can't remember who they were tied up on the floor. They were tied up and they're on the floor and like they're kicking one of the group to be the first one to die. And they're like, no, sacrifice is a noble thing. Yes. And they're just kind of, I don't want to go. They're like pushing him, forcing him to sacrifice himself.
Oh.
And then the one, I guess, when the woman shows up, he's like, I can't tell if I have a fear boner or a boner.
You know? Eric, you're going to tell him about the mistake that you thought I was actually asking you a question on text?
Oh, right. When Phil texted me while I was watching the movie, and it had been a while since I seen it, so I didn't realize he was texting me dialogue from the movie. So I get this text from Phil that says, "The witching hour is 3 a.m., but is it Eastern time? Is it Pacific time? Do demons acknowledge daylight savings time?" And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why are you wondering about this? And then I watched the movie tonight. I was like, oh, he was quoting the movie.
You felt silly.
Yeah, because I get this response from Eric, like, "What are you talking about, you idiot?" or something.
I was like, "It's wherever you are, God."
right. And it's like, oh, and I actually thought you knew what I was talking about.
God. Phil had that sad, shamed look of the look of the dog taking a poop look, and just like, it's, Eric didn't think it was funny. He thinks I think it was.
Yeah, I was like, well, come on, dude, that was a great line. And Eric's
it
like,
is
oh,
a great line, I just forgot it.
That's right. and it came out of nowhere, too, because he says it, and then it's like, and then they don't even answer the question. It was like just a cool joke to throw in, so they threw it in the middle of the movie.
In my defense, I had no way of knowing you were watching the movie at that point in time.
That's true. I should have at least stated that I was watching the movie. That's a good point.
All right. Oh, this has been, again, who picked this one?
We're assuming it's Gage.
We think it's Gage, but yeah, we're not sure.
All right, Gage.
When we have our shit together.
Yeah, Gage, I just want to remind you paid for this.
Dude, he's reliving awesomeness.
He is.
Yeah,
but yeah, going back to some other good scenes, that was the best thing. They chop the head off of the minion, and they go, "Do it again! It was not good." And they're like, "What?"
Yes. Yeah, no.
Get a top or something.
They chop the head off the guy, and the boss man goes, "You got blood all over the rug. Don't you know that's priceless? Next time, put a tarp down.
Do it again."
And these two hooded executioners look at each other like, is he serious? And he's like, do it again! And so they go get a tarp, and they put it down over the blood spot on the rug, and the one takes the guy's head and kind of holds it back up to his neck, and the other one, like, pretends to cut it off again. The other guy drops it on the floor, and the boss is like, that's better.
Right, and then the girl lifts
and then the girl's head pops up, yeah. That was awesome.
I just love when they look at each other like, is he serious?
I mean, they have masks on, so you can't see their expressions, but their body movements are like, what? Are you serious? What? It just works. It's so awesome. It's the
it
best
was thing. Awesome.
It was. And then that's when I went, oh, this is where this film's going. Okay. Actually, I didn't even know where it was going because then they started having dildos. And the best was, they go, is this rosary beads? No.
No, no. God.
And then he smells it and he goes,
oh, God.
You are supposed to wash this.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, my God. That was. Not that we know what any of these things are.
Oh, no.
No clue.
Had to look it up, yeah.
You know, somebody going, oh man, that's just so not believable. They totally wash those when you're done with it. Everybody knows that. This movie sucks.
But as I stated, Eric, we all had to look it up just like I had to look up Cleveland steamers. Jesus. Oh my God. Disgusting.
Yes. I traumatized Phil. I'm so happy.
Yeah. And Mike had a good point, though. He goes, enough people have done it because they had to name it.
Right.
Enough people. Like, have, oh, apparently, God. Apparently in Cleveland. So.
Well, their team does suck, or it has been in the past. So.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Well, that's why they're the Cleveland Browns.
Yeah. I think they may have finally turned the page, though, but we're going to find out.
We'll
Eric.
Find out, yep.
Yeah. It's looking good. It's looking a little good for them. Yes, indeed. Let's see. Any other
scene? We've gone off the rails.
Anything else? Anything? We still have to record for another half hour, Eric!
Why?
I'm just being funny because Eric always makes a joke about that.
Yeah, because we
still can't stand having reasonably long episodes.
Yeah, Abe, you don't remember when we had that agreement to try to drag all of your episode out as long as possible to annoy Eric?
Yes, I remember.
I mean, that's the whole point of you having quote unquote technical difficulties at the start.
right, exactly.
So Eric's going, I gotta get to bed. Damn it, where's Abe?
That's right. I got to watch another episode of The Castle, Woman in the High Castles, or whatever it's called.
Man in the High Castle.
Yes.
That's right. Yeah, because that's your latest show after The Americans.
Yes, I finished The Americans. I'm on to The Man in the High Castle.
Yeah, I wonder what the next
good
show
stuff on Amazon.
Dude, Ozark! Now they just got to do another 10 season of Ozark, because that's the best show. Shit was awesome.
I've created a monster.
It's Eric's fault because he recommended it.
It is my fault. I will take the blame.
Yeah, yeah. But it's so awesome. There's no bad characters. They're all. There's no one in the show that I can't stand.
Hey, Phil, do you like that show?
Oh, yeah. It's awesome.
I couldn't tell. Oh, my goodness.
It is awesome.
So are we ready to wrap this up?
I think so. Oh, Eric, what about the scene back at the 73-minute? No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Yeah, I guess we can wrap it up because it's really just a fun movie. It's not like a real plot that is necessary to really discuss and
right. dice. I think even Christy would be hard pressed to find any symbolism in this movie.
The dildos to the skull represent this.
Well, they do. They are. I don't know if you noticed, but dildos were somewhat phallic shaped.
Talk about a mind fuck.
But no! Why? Oh. But why were the dildos colored that color?
They were the large black double-headed dildo. I have no idea.
I thought it was red, or was it see-through green?
There were multiple dildos. They were an assortment of colors.
And why were they rainbow? Why were they jelly ones instead of the plastic ones?
Yeah, Eric, why is that?
What? Like, I'm a fucking expert.
We need Chrissy. Why were they jelly and green?
Actually, Pam does know someone who sells sex toys, so
we could. Okay.
It's one of her friends from high school. had it like as a side business was selling like you know like Tupperware parties, except.
My niece.
These were to quote Eric, to quote Abe, a different kind of Rubbermaid.
I know somebody who she doesn't like do that for a side job or anything, but she had one of those parties.
Oh, there you go. My niece actually used to work for a company called Adam and Eve,
mm-hmm.
And they are known to sell all that stuff. They're
yes,
like a
they
huge,
are.
Yeah, but then she got a job at Amazon, and so she left them. But that company's doing so well, Adam and Eve, they gave every employee, and we're talking lots of people, a free iPad.
Dude, that sex sells. There's money in it, for sure.
Yeah,
I've heard that.
Indeed. Yeah, that's true. All right, so I guess we can give our final thoughts about this movie and all the good stuff, including green jelly dildos. So we'll start with you, Mike.
I prefer the chocolate frosted. Those are the ones that taste better than the jelly dildos. Wow. Look, the movie's a blast. It is not meant to be taken seriously. It channels an awful lot of teenage angst that I'm sure many of us could identify with from those days. God willing, nobody here identifies with it now. Abe, maybe you have a little residual leftover still. Yeah, it's just a lot of fun. You have to be willing to go for the gore. If you're a classic horror fan, I really think you'll like it. In terms of like the 80s over the top gore violence, the jokes, we've kind of killed every single one of them. It's got some style
to it.
They're
all visual, so it's still worth watching.
Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, telling us that they smack people in the face with double-headed dildos doesn't really capture it. You just got to see it.
Or, as Abe said, screwing her brains out.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. With the dick. All right. Anything else, Mike?
No, that's it.
All right. Very good. Eric?
This film is a hoot. I love it just from like the fact that it acknowledges metal and has fun with it. Lovingly makes fun of it, to the fact that there's, you know, good gore, some boobs, good stuff. This is just a fun horror movie. So if you're into fun horror movies, check it out.
All right, very good. Hey.
I had a lot of fun with this movie. I mean, it was absolutely a blast. It's funny. It had some good practical effects. It had some good gore. It had some really fun characters. Some cool set pieces. It was just a lot of fun, and that's I think that's the consensus. That this was a fun movie. It doesn't have a complicated plot, or not, it doesn't even need one. But it was a great time. And if you like the types of films, I definitely recommend checking it out. You know, it's a blast. Go, I honestly think you'd be doing yourself a disservice by not seeing it.
All right, very good. I mean, this is the definition of midnight movie. Blood, boobs, gore, comedy, craziness, unrated. You got it. It has it. So, yeah, this is a fun film. It also can be related, as Mike said, to some folks in their younger years and the angst and whatnot. But then it is also over-the-top madness and funny as hell. There's a reason why it has really good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes and elsewhere, because it is a good film. One of the best reviews by critics I read was that the same people that brought you Lords of the Rings and all these other classic films bring you Deathgasm.
Yeah.
But it is a good review for the movie, even though they're winking at us.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, it's a great time, a surprise for sure. And as Abe summed up perfectly earlier, I wish I had seen it back in 2015, because then maybe I would have considered putting it on my top 20, and it would be curious to see where it would have fallen.
Mm-hmm.
And Abe is absolutely right. It's a pretty good film. So, yes.
Well, Mike and I were ahead of the curve.
You sure were. Absolutely. Yep. Absolutely. So that's Deathgasm, 2015 horror film. Comedy on actually right now free on Amazon Prime, which is,
I believe it's also on Netflix.
Oh, there you go.
I think it may be.
Okay. So there's many places to see it, and if you aren't able to see it free, you can VOD it for a few dollars, $3.99 everywhere anyway. And of course, you can buy the disc as well, because it's available again on Amazon, Walmart, and so forth, Target, and whatnot.
Oh, when it came out, I wanted to support the movie so much that I bought a digital copy and I bought a Blu-ray.
Yeah, I've got it. I did both. And then I ended up getting, because I was subscribing to one of the various subscription services, and they ended up sending me another Blu-ray copy of Deathgasm.
Nice.
So actually, I've got two. I might be able to give one away if I didn't already send it to Mr. Fultz.
There you go. And why did they send it to you free?
No, you're familiar with the various subscription services where you send you a box of crap every month?
Yeah. The box of horror type stuff.
Whatever. Right. So I had a subscription service for a year. I gave it a try. And, usually there was a DVD every month. And one month it was
I remember that you used to talk about that. Yeah.
And one month was a DVD or Blu-ray, rather, of Deathgasm.
Oh, how about that? Nice.
So I would offer to give it away, but I don't actually know if I have
already done that.
Right. I know I sent a bunch to Mr. Fault, so I have to go look and see if I can find it.
Right. And maybe if you did send him this film, Mike, that's maybe how he found out about this film and chose it as a Patreon.
Maybe not. I have no idea.
It all comes full circle.
That's right. Exactly. That's Deathgasm 2015, available everywhere and most certainly free on Amazon and possibly Netflix at the moment. We here all liked it, which is a pretty good thing because such a niche film where all of us, and we all four of us have different likes. I'm like art house, Eric's mainstream, Mike is whatever, and Abe is whatever. And yet we all thought this was a good film. So that says something. I think it really does. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So with all that stated, Eric, why don't you lead us out?
All right. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us talk about Deathgasm. Come back next week. We'll have another topic.
Go see this movie! Go see this movie! No!
I actually used to be able to do the death metal vocal thing, but I can't do it anymore.